You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, October 3rd, 2016.
Unless we have, from the very beginning, people in Bloomington who get to know and like people who are different from them, we won't have the kind of diversity and social peace that we all want.
MCCSC School Board District 6 candidate Marty Speckler discusses some of the challenges facing the school board later in the show in today's community report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, we hear from a volunteer at Opportunity House. That's on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
Governor Mike Pence's administration cannot legally prevent the settlement of Syrian refugees in Indiana. That's according to a ruling issued today by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. The court ruled in favor of Exodus Refugee Immigration, an organization that helps refugees settle in Indiana. Exodus just announced plans to open an office in Bloomington next year. The organization filed a lawsuit last year after Governor Pence ordered state agencies to block refugee settlement organizations from receiving federal grant money. At the time, Pence said he couldn't be sure proper measures were in place to screen refugees. In today's ruling, the nation's most cited legal scholar, Judge Richard Posner, writes, "Pence has no evidence to back up his fears." Posner writes, quote, "The governor of Indiana believes that some of these persons were sent to Syria by ISIS to engage in terrorism and now wish to infiltrate the United States in order to commit terrorist acts here. No evidence of this belief has been presented, however. It is a nightmare speculation," unquote. The court goes on to refer to Pence's order as discrimination based on nationality. Today's ruling is not necessarily a surprise. The three-judge panel was critical of Indiana's anti-refugee efforts during oral arguments last month. During a hearing, Judge Frank Easterbrook said, quote, "When a state makes an argument that saying, we're differentiating based on whether someone is from Syria, but that has nothing to do with national origin, all it produces is a broad smile," unquote. The most recent estimates indicate the U.S. has accepted about 10,000 Syrian refugees during the past year. In the Bloomington area, Exodus Refugee Immigration has announced plans to help settle about 20 families. Their Bloomington office is set to open in March.
Lawrence County has officially declared a public health emergency related to hepatitis C. The announcement allows the county's health department to establish a needle exchange program. Lawrence County joins Monroe, Clark, Madison, Fayette, Wayne, and Scott counties, where public health emergencies have already been declared. The Indiana Recovery Alliance will now serve both Lawrence and Monroe counties in providing clean needles as well as free HIV and hepatitis C testing. The Recovery Alliance will also provide naloxone, the drug that reverses opiate overdoses, and referrals for treatment and social services. Lawrence County's health emergency declaration came about as an attempt to curb the rising rates of hepatitis C infection. State Health Commissioner Jerome Adams explained, quote, "As we fight the national opioid epidemic, we've seen time and again that rising hepatitis C rates can be a sign that injection drug use is occurring in a community," unquote. The Bedford Times-Mail reports the declaration runs through September 29, 2017.
Last week, the Monroe County Commissioners accepted more than $15,000 in grant funding for the county's Futures Family Planning Clinic. The money comes from the Indiana Family Health Council. The Futures Clinic provides family planning services on a sliding fee scale. County Health Administrator Penny Caudill said the clinic is receiving slightly less money than in last year's grant cycle.
This is a little bit less than we normally get from them, but if you also remember, our revenue has greatly increased with the Affordable Care Act and more people have coverage. So at the end of the grant cycle, as I said, they redistribute. We just got some additional funds that we had to spend very quickly. We got an additional $9,000 in September. So they do watch those funds very closely and reallocate as the need is there.
Caudill also said the health department has received $3,000 from the Indiana State Department of Health for its radon testing program.
We've been doing radon testing in our department for some time. We normally get free radon kits, and this will allow us to purchase some. We've used what we've had, and so this money will allow us to continue that program and offer testing and education to people who may be concerned about radon in the community.
Caudill said her department helps homeowners interpret the radon test results and can offer information and referrals if a high level of radon is found. In other business, commissioners approved updating the Monroe County Continuity of Operations Plan. Emergency Management Director Jim Comerford said the disaster plan will be reviewed annually.
It's a continuation of operations plan, how county government would continue to operate and how we would reconstitute government in a disaster situation. That can be down to where we would have one building that we would have to relocate, or one would be damaged, up to multiple buildings. And this sets out in this base plan the procedures and the people that would come together to decide what we would need, determine what has happened and what we would need to do. There is also attached to the back of this a fillable form for each department then to fill out for their department of what they would need to do, what items they would need to have back going within 24 hours, or, you know, they just categorize what their different duties are and in what point and what order they would be required to bring those back. So what you're doing right now is passing the base plan. Once you pass it, then we will, from our office, send that template out to each department. And our goal right now is to get it out to them, and then we will work with them to get the information back. And the goal is by the end of the year to have all theirs back and have it all in place.
Commissioner Iris Kiesling affirmed the need for an annual review of county's disaster preparedness.
I know that we've been in and out of this project over the years that I've been involved.
Right.
And I think people don't always think about what happens if there's some event, and hopefully we don't have any events, but better be prepared than not.
Right.
And it's a good thing to think about, just succession, especially if people get ill, who takes over and so on. And that's part of that also.
In other business, commissioners appointed Peter Iverson to the Bloomington Commission on Sustainability. Iverson is the development director at the Salvation Army. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Maria McKinley. This fall, voters are being asked to decide three contested races for Monroe County Community School Board seats. In District 6, Lois Sabo Skelton is defending her seat against candidate Marty Speckler. Assistant News Director Sarah Vaughn spoke with Speckler as part of WFHB's Candidate Forum series. Sabo Skelton declined to participate. We bring you an excerpt of the conversation for today's WFHB Community Report.
What is the most significant issue you think the school board will face in 2017?
Sarah, I think the most important issue of our public schools is the failure of the General Assembly of the State of Indiana to support our public schools very well. This whole story began in 2009 when they cut back support for the public schools, and people of Monroe County had been asked to come forward with tax support through the first referendum to keep very important things going, including extracurricular activities, special teachers, and a variety of things that were promised and were carried through because the good people of Monroe County, including my family, all voted for that referendum. Now we're being asked to renew that referendum, and without it, The public schools are going to be in worse shape than they were then. And in fact, Sarah, I have to say the most important issue for the next 10 years is going to be the financial difficulties of the Monroe County Community Schools for a number of reasons that I'd be happy to lay out.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, the most important thing, of course, is whether the General Assembly under a possible Republican administration will go about cutting school funding or adding extra responsibilities. And the thing that we definitely can see is the approval of more charter and private schools. Now, I'm not against charter schools or private schools in themselves. Parents have the right to choose, and I wouldn't deny that. But when you give money on an equal basis, so-called equal basis, to charter schools and to private schools, in fact, that deprives the public schools of important funds. And the reason is that public schools have a big pension obligation that they've taken on legally. They maintain facilities in the schools for concerts, for dramatic presentations, and they also take in all the children who need special attention, special needs. By law, they must take them in, and they do take them in. Whether the private schools or the charter schools take them in is up to them. And since this is an expensive form of education, something required by law, they have reason to avoid those obligations. Now, whether they do depends on the charter school. Some charter schools are very good, like our project school here in Bloomington. Some of the new ones, though, I have some doubts about what they're teaching and whether they are following the law. But we can't really say. The state is simply giving the voucher money to these schools once they are authorized. And that is hurting the public schools and will continue to hurt the public schools in carrying out their mission.
So what do you think the school board members can do to influence the state legislature's choices for education?
Well, there was a year or two ago a proposal that the superintendent and the school board members sign on a letter advising the General Assembly that the people of Monroe County disagree with their failure to fund pre-K and the regular public schools. But some members, so I understand, of the school board refused to sign that letter. Now, when I was a member of the Bloomington Common Council, the city council, up to last year, we regularly signed letters that reflected the strong public commitment to things like fair elections, to human rights for all citizens. We regularly signed those things because we knew and were regularly supported in thinking that the beliefs of the people of Monroe County and especially the city of Bloomington were fairly liberal on these issues. And I believe that the people of Bloomington and Monroe County are for public schools. I meet many, many people at the farmers market, at community meetings and so forth, who tell me that they know of the value of public schools. And I think that the entire Monroe County School Board ought to have signed a strong letter protesting against the financial policies of the state that are harming our public schools.
Do you think that standardized testing is, well, let me back up and say, I know the ISTEP is going through revisions. The committee that was appointed to review and revise that is struggling to come up with a test. What's your position on standardized testing?
I haven't seen that standardized testing has done very much good. I know it occupies a lot of time in the classroom, time that could be spent on other things. And we don't need a standardized test to tell us that the children in child school are superb kids who are going to succeed in their life. We don't need that. What we need is a sensitive evaluation of the schools where, over the many years, the results have been less promising. And I don't think that the standardized tests, which typically put these people down, really creates the right kind of impression. We have some differences in our schools. It's largely a result of economic conditions. Somebody said, and I agree, that the basic problem of American schools is two, very simple, poverty and segregation. Poverty and segregation. We can't do that much in Monroe County about poverty. We have poverty more than most people realize, but we can do some things about segregation by making transfers easier, perhaps. I don't want to jump into redistricting, but I think everything should be done to avoid that and to allow parents who don't like their district to move their children around. That will avoid their going into the charter schools or the private schools. Now, sometimes, no doubt, parents who choose charter schools, which weren't around when my wife and I had choices to make, or private schools, which were certainly around, have reasons of their own. But those parents should realize that the children who go to a school with basically only children of their own type, their own faith, their own appearance, are losing out on one of the most important parts of public education, which is to get familiar with people who don't look like them and who don't think like them. Until you have that, then we're not strengthening the diversity of the Monroe County and the city of Bloomington, which is very important in making sure that everybody is feels safe here, feels comfortable, feels that we're all working together. And unless we have, from the very beginning of the life, people in Bloomington who get to know and like people who are different from them, we won't have the kind of diversity and social peace that we all want.
WFHB's candidate forums are airing as part of our Wednesday night lecture series, Standing Room Only. You can hear our full conversation with MCCSC School Board candidate Marty Speckler at our website, wfhb.org/publicaffairs/SRO.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference, volunteer.
Hello, my name is Josephine McCormick, and I am one of the youngest volunteers at Opportunity House. Opportunity House is a used clothing and just other used goods store, similar to Goodwill, but vastly cheaper. All of its donations go to Monroe County United Ministries, so it's connected to the daycare center with Macomb. And it's really just a fascinating environment to be in because many of the volunteers there are coming from a more religious background. Same thing with United Ministries. A lot of the volunteerism, just the motivation for it is through churches and that sort of activity. So I came at it from a completely different experience, but still managed to merge just, why are we doing this? We're doing this to provide a lot of money for people in this community. And that's really cool to see a direct benefit. People who shop in this community are also benefiting from it. Growing up in Bloomington, you can definitely isolate yourselves to which side of your community you wish to see. And being able to serve at a place like Opportunity House that serves a population that does not have as much money as the background that I come from, or is struggling to find affordable clothing and affordable toys for our kids. I enjoy seeing the same people come in every week and really thank me for the service that I'm doing when I've never had that experience of really being thanked for just being there. And that's really rewarding and something that I hadn't encountered before. Seeing people come in, and this is the first time that I've ever encountered vouchers for clothes. I had encountered vouchers for food before, and I've also volunteered at the community kitchen where the inability to provide really nourishing food, like that's something that I've been able to provide as a volunteer, and I've understood like we have a lot of resources in Bloomington that provide food. But this is the first time that I'd seen someone come in with a voucher for like socks. And I'd never thought before of how privileged I am that I buy a package of socks and then throw them away, you know, once they get a hole in it. And this was a chance for people to have very gently used and really well taken care of clothing being recycled. As a young person, a college-bound student, I began volunteerism for very selfish reasons. I wanted to accumulate as many hours as possible in order to look really good on a piece of paper and then be accepted into a good college and continue the cycle of what do I need to fulfill in order to be a good student. And then I started volunteering places, and then I got involved in more opportunities within my community, and I began to make connections with the people and the reasons why they are so invested in the work that they do. And that really just took a hold of me, and I realized that, you know, any time that you give has an impact, and it is meaningful. Seeing the people who not only benefited from the services that I was providing, however small, it was also just seeing the people who manage these organizations and who do it so tirelessly and with so little help from outside sources. It's just incredible to see what you can accomplish when you just figure out, you know, why are we doing this? Why is this important? Why should we care about other people? Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Josephine McCormick, and I'm a volunteer with a lot of organizations, but today I'm representing Opportunity House.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three ways to get your shopping fix as a volunteer. Global Gifts Fair Trade Retail Store is looking for individuals who are passionate about other cultures, helping enable impoverished people in the developing world, promoting fair trade, fair wages, and environmentalism. If that's you, come assist with store operations and help spread the mission of fair trade. Or build a home without lifting a hammer as a volunteer at Habitat Restore. The Restore is a donation retail center that accepts building materials and home furnishings and then sells them to the public at a deeply discounted price, with proceeds benefiting the local Habitat chapter. Volunteer to help in the store out front or in the back with donations. And of course, there's the Opportunity House Thrift Store, a nonprofit resale store raising funds for the preschool and emergency programs of Monroe County United Ministries. Volunteers can sort and price donations, stock shelves, or serve as cashiers. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
This has been the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Joe Crawford and Kathy Norton, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, our partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Sarah Vaughn.
Activate is produced by Jennifer Brooks, along with the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Jim Thrasher. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Maria McKinley. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming, online at wfhb.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for Bring It On, our local forum on African American people and culture, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff.